بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. رسالة الدرو الشريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. This is session 13 in our series Spiritual Warfare, the daily battle with Shaitan. And we're learning how to protect ourselves. We're learning how to protect ourselves from the tricks and the plots and the ploys of Shaitan. And the more we know that knowledge is power, or shall we say knowledge is potential power if you use it properly. So by having this knowledge, by having this understanding, we are able to protect ourselves from the tricks, the ploys and the plots of Shaitan. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, as we've been mentioning, he gives a beautiful analogy when he begins the chapter, and he says that the heart of the human being is like a castle, it's like a fort. And there are many gates that are reaching, breaches, pathways that reach the heart. Shaitan wants to take over your heart. So in order to protect your heart, you need to protect the gates, protect the breaches, protect the entrances. First of all, we need to know what these gates are. And in our previous sessions, we have covered many of these gates. Today we're going to speak about another significant gate. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, he introduces this idea by saying, وَمِنْ أَبْوَابِهِ الْعَظِيمَةِ وَمِنْ أَبْوَابِهِ الْعَظِيمَةِ. So there are many gates leading to the heart, to this fort, to this castle. He says one of the greatest and the most significant gates that lead to this heart, which Shaitan uses and he exploits and he gets you with and he throws you off track, and he destroys your relationship with Allah. He destroys your relationship with your family. He destroys your relationship with your community. What is it? He says, وَمِنْ أَبْوَابِهِ الْعَظِيمَةِ التَّعَصُّبِ التَّعَصُّبِ التَّعَصُّبِ. This is the one he speaks about. It's quite significant. It's something that we don't normally think about. وَمِنْ أَبْوَابِهِ الْعَظِيمَةِ التَّعَصُّبِ. So he says another major door through which Shaitan tries to ruin our relationships with, again, with Allah, first of all, with our family, with the communities. And what is this ta'asub? In simple words, let's call it groupism, sectarianism, hizbiyya, ta'asub. And another word for this is asabiyya. And this affects us on such a level that we don't even realize that Shaitan is basically playing chess with us. And we think, I'm just supporting my own people. I'm just supporting my crew. I'm just standing up for my group. This is the idea I've always been taught, so I'm just supporting it. Without us realizing that Shaitan is using us, and not only using us, playing chess with us, and he's getting to us, and it's destroying our relationship with Allah, our relationship with other people, and our relationship with our community as well. What is asabiyya? What is asabiyya? Asabiyya is, in simple words, your desire to get angry and fight for your people. Your desire to get angry and fight for your people. When I say your people, it could be your people in anything, absolutely anything. So your desire to get angry and fight for your people. And the Arabs had a lot of asabiyya within them. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived to Medina Munawwara, there was a lot of asabiyya. And we spoke earlier about the Aus and the Khazraj. They were at war. They didn't want to see each other. And this was very common, where people wouldn't look at the truth. They wouldn't look at what's right. At the end, is it one of our guys? That's it. You don't mess with one. You said something about it. People are not interested to know what the truth is. This is why this is so problematic. They don't want to know what's right. They don't want to know what the truth is. Don't want to know if it's okay or not. Just, was it to do with one of our guys? That's it. I don't care what you've got to say. I don't care what evidence you have. I don't care how good of a person you are. You're a bad person because you said something about one of our people. So this was very common amongst the Arabs. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Medina Munawwara, it's one of the first things that he eliminated. And, you know, the establishing of the brotherhood and everything else were steps towards eliminating this element of asabiyya. Asabiyya, where groupism, where you just stick up for your own people because they're your own people. It doesn't matter who's on the other side. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went as far as to say and announce, "Laysa minna man da'a ila asabiyya." That person who calls towards sectarianism, that person who calls towards hizbiyya, that person who calls towards asabiyya, that person that calls towards groupism, racism we can even call it, not among us. Meaning, you're not part of this masjid, you're not part of this, get lost from here. Who's saying this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, you don't belong here if you're calling towards sectarianism. You don't belong here if you're calling towards your group or your people. You don't belong in Islam. There's no room for you. That is not what Islam is about. Because such an individual is going to be used by shaitan to do what? Divide and rule. This is satanic, right? I know the Brits have been doing it. But it's a satanic trait. Divide and rule. Divide and conquer. This is what it is. Calling towards a certain group. And then if somebody else is, it doesn't matter who it is, just focusing on, like, no matter what, no, it has to be one of us. It's not one. And this is what we start doing then. We start, everyone we see, because our lovely human brains like doing this, like putting things into categories and compartments and boxes. So everyone you see, you're going to say, does it fit that box or not? Right? It's a very dangerous tool of shaitan. And we don't even realize, because when we speak about asabiyya, especially when we live in such a diverse community as we have here, alhamdulillah. Not sure about you guys from up north, but over here, right? I can say that because I'm from there as well, and I know. It's like one type of people in the masjid. Anybody else comes of a different skin color, different language, or even your own type, but from a different district, everyone starts looking at them in a funny way, right? Alhamdulillah, here we have a lovely, diverse community where we've got people from all backgrounds, all understandings, and different skin colors, different race, and alhamdulillah, everyone's made to feel welcome. No one's singled out, and no one's looked at in a strange way, like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? No, alhamdulillah, we don't have that here. So, because we're living in now a multicultural, diverse community, a lot of us can think, I'm not racist. This doesn't apply to me. Remember, asabiyya doesn't just apply here. We're going to go deep into this today. It doesn't just apply to, okay, you've got friends that are of a different skin color, or they eat different to you, or they're from a different ethnicity. That's okay. We all have that. But that's not where it stops. This goes much further. The tool and the trick of shaitan goes way beyond that. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the person calling towards this, and this happened amongst the Sahaba. Like, they would sometimes, on one occasion, he said, like, right, Muhajirin, come on to this side. Come on to this side, Muhajirin. Come on, Muhajirin, where are you? Come on, Muhajirin, all on one side. And the Ansar got excited. Ansar, come on to one side. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what's going on? You're not supposed to make groups like that. What, you're calling the Muhajirin to one side? No, we're all one. These categorizations are there for other logistical reasons. Okay, you guys migrated, you guys helped them out. That's done and over with. You don't use that to make groups now. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would notice this, he would always step in. And to eliminate it, he just put it out there. And he said, "Man da'a ila asabiyyatin falaysa minna." Anybody who calls towards this kind of sectarianism, groupism, asabiyya, you have no room here in Islam. Now, like I said earlier, we sometimes think that this doesn't apply to me because, you know, I've got a long friends list and I get on with everybody. No, it doesn't stop there. The message is, do not let your hatred for a group of people lead you to become unjust. This is the message. It's the Quranic message, actually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is the ayah of the Quran, and it's the basis of what we're going to speak about. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not allow the hatred of a people to lead you to become unjust. Now, what does that mean? We're going to go into it. Sometimes we end up hating a people for whatever right reason. Maybe they've wronged you. They've done something to you. You've gone through an experience. Does that now mean that every time you come across a similar scenario, I know what it's all about. You're not even willing to listen. You're not even willing to hear. You're not even willing to understand. You're basing on your personal experience. And we do this a lot. We do this a lot without realizing. This is also a type of asabiyya. Because you've made your mind up. You're being judgmental. This is a prejudice. Prejudging, before anything's happened, prejudging leads to prejudice, doesn't it? And that's what's happening. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gives us this. The Quran gives, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. You know, love and hatred, the two very powerful tools. Love and hatred, both of them. Very, very powerful. And like, as human beings, especially when you're young, even when you're older, but when you're young, you like to be part of something. Like, look at gang memberships. Like, when people were growing up, I don't know if anybody's still part of a gang now, but like I used to hear Aston was quite rough back in the days. Jazakallah. Tikan, jazakallah. But it's just to be part of a crew, just to be part of a group, you'd forgive them for anything. And anybody not subscribing to that, you know, you're like a reject. You're a loser. You don't mean anything. You don't stand for anything. So as human beings, we like to be part of something. We want to have this sense of belonging, belong to a certain group. And this is why we end up doing these things sometimes, where it feels comfortable and it's nice to be part of a group. But at the same time, shaitan uses this to divide people. Shaitan uses this. Small things. Like, it's so common. Like, you will actually look at, okay, let's see, where do you put your hands when you pray? Where do you put your hands when you pray? Yeah, you put them there. You're not one of us. Where do you put your hands when you pray? No, you're goners as well. Can you see? Something that was supposed to be a sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his hands, according to the hadith, below his navel. He placed his hand on the navel. He placed his hand slightly above the navel. He never placed them here, by the way. So, and you're going to say, you're trying to be a sectarian. No. I'm quoting the truth to you. There's no hadith that tells you place them up here, by the way. So you've got below the navel, on the navel, just above the navel. And at the end of the day, it's a difference in fiqh. It's a difference of hadith. How can we use something like that, which was supposed to be a sunnah, to divide people? And that's what we're doing. And shaitan works in a very subtle way, where you think you're being religious by doing this. But it's a small thing. Someone says Ameen loudly, someone says it quietly. Is that something that should divide us? That shouldn't be something that divides us. Someone chooses to follow one timetable for Salah, someone uses a different timetable for Salah. How can that be a means of hating on somebody? Like, live with it. There's bigger fish to fry. The Ummah is going through so much turmoil. People are leaving the deen. And here we are fighting on whether you follow Saudi or you follow Morocco. Like, let people live. If somebody wants to follow Saudi moon sighting, they can follow Saudi moon sighting. Somebody wants to follow Morocco moon sighting, they can follow Morocco moon sighting. Somebody wants to follow local moon sighting. But that doesn't mean we kind of make groups now. Oh, you're one of them, I'm one of these. And we look at them differently. We talk to them differently. This is shaitan using us as a tool to divide. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. And that goes for everything. It goes for everything. So this is something that is being used. And the online rhetoric at the moment is very toxic. Online, if you look at the debates that go on, very, very toxic. Not good for our youth at all. And not good for anybody, but especially for the youth. This is not what you want to grow up listening to. Seeing people just debating and fighting and saying, you're one of us and you're not one of us. And we've had so many different things go on in the last so many years. Right, in all groups. And it happens. It's natural. And you're not always going to see eye to eye. Look at in the Tabligh field, for example. Those of you who are familiar with the work of Dawah and Tabligh, a massive movement, a global movement, over 100 years of making effort. And Alhamdulillah, mashallah, much great work has happened. But they had a huge split some years ago. And you've got people who follow Nizamuddin, and then you've got people who follow the Shura. And like, okay, you're allowed to follow one of them if you want to, but do we now start hating on the other party and categorizing each person, whoever we see? You might have a sheikh, someone else might have another sheikh, and now the members or the disciples from this side are hating on the other ones. What if they're doing the right thing? This is what shaitan wants. Imam Ghazali is saying one of the major gates of that shaitan uses to get to your heart is this asabiyya, this kind of division. You're one of the people, you're not one of the people. So this is something we need to be mindful of. And this is not important enough. It's important, right? Where you put your hand in salah is important, right? It's a sunnah. We're not trivializing it. But it's not important enough to split us apart. It's important. But it's not that significant that we use it to split us apart. Oh, you're saying it loudly, I'm saying it quietly, I'm not going to pray with you. No, these are small differences. It's fine. Let people live. You don't judge people according to a difference that you have. Just because they're not praying the way you're praying, that doesn't mean we hate on them. And we start making groups and seeing people in categories. He's one of us, he's not one of us. So this is the message that we want to understand. Now, by nature, we want to defend that which is ours. This is a natural thing, that we want to stick up for our own. If you are defending a group, you should be defending the Muslims. If you're defending a group, who should you be defending? Muslims. Defend the Muslims. There's so much work to do to defend the Muslims. Have you seen what's being said about Muslims? And sadly, the same people who come out with these claims, they are the ones normally, they're just having a go at Muslims all the time as well, generally. Muslims are like this, Muslims are like this, Muslims. Whereas we, as an ummah, we should be supporting, if there's a group we're supporting, we support the Muslims. We champion the cause of the Muslims. Then on an individual level, you have your own alliances. On an individual level, you have your own affiliation. On an individual level, you have your personal likes. On an individual level, you might be more inclined towards one way. That's perfectly fine. That's an individual thing in terms when it comes to your practice, when it comes to your belief. But being judgmental and compartmentalizing people and putting them into boxes and then using that as a means of division, that you are not one of us and they are them, and this is problematic and this causes division. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So what was the ayah? وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُ. Do not allow your hatred for a group of people to lead you to become unjust. The problem is injustice. This is the problem. This is the major problem. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't he tell us that your love for something will blind you from the truth? Your love for something will blind you from the truth. We love our own people, our own things, so much that no matter how truthful the opposite party is, a lot of times we're not willing to accept it. Why? Because it's not one of us. That's what the Bani Israel did. This is what you call racism. This is pure racism. The Bani Israel, they were waiting for the final messenger. They had the signs. They knew the truth more than anybody else. Because for years and years, they'd been reading in the heavenly, godly scriptures, the description of the final prophet. And when he finally came, they intentionally chose not to believe in him. They knew it was him. How convinced were they? Quran says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Tomorrow school start. When it's home time and you go to collect your kids, does it ever happen you come back with the wrong kid? Did that ever happen when you were young at school, your parents picked the wrong kid up? It doesn't matter if there's 1,000 kids. You don't get mixed up and think, oh, is this my kid or is this my kid? You know your child. The Quran is saying the Yahud, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Just like you go to school and you pick up your kids and you know, that is my kid. In the same way, when they saw his blessed countenance, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were convinced that was him. They were in two minds. But despite that, because of the racism, that's all it was. Asabiyya. Why is he not an Israelite? Why does he have to be an Arab? Let's extend it to us.
We do this.
I'll start with me because I'm a Gujarati, right? So I'll attend it to myself, right? So, and it's common in every masjid. Here we're going to speak about Konkanis because it's a Konkani masjid. Okay, if you don't like that, fine. I've worked in many Gujarati masjids. They're racist. I'm going to be very open with you. Very racist people. They will not want a non-Gujarati doing anything. They won't want it. I understand for the management purposes, that's fine. For management purposes, sometimes you need your own kind of people so that you have a similar ideas. It's like when you get married. Sometimes they say, you know, to get the compatibility, it's good. You can marry out of your caste and whatever. But sometimes they advise this kind of similarity so that you can get on. Because you have to work long-term process. But when it comes on a long-term as a community level, I'll be very honest with you. Our people are very racist. In some of our masjids, like you'll just find almost 100% of people, just one type of people. Pakistani brother comes in, oh, baklawi gyo. Like, that's how they'll speak. Honestly, I've seen with my own eyes, in one of the masjids I was an imam, at Fajr time, I'm sitting at the back waiting for the salah to lead, and there's about 5 minutes left, and this elderly person sitting there, there was one African brother that would come to our masjid, the only one. He walks into the masjid, and this would happen regularly. He'd walk into the masjid, he'd sit down, the elderly Gujarati uncle, I've seen him stand up and go to the other side just because he didn't want to stand next to an African brother. And this is happening, right? If you don't want me to speak about you, I'll speak about us. And this is in every community, right? Whether it be the Pakistani community, in the Bengali community, okay, in the Konkani community. About the Arabs, I can't comment, but I'm sure it's amongst them as well. We all have it, and we have to learn to rise above this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's sad because we thought that it was our elders. But we're teaching it to our younger people as well, and we need to stay away from it. The young people, their minds are very clean and pure. I've seen here, a lot of people don't even know the differences. And that's, in a way, it's a good thing. In a way, we want people to understand because Allah's made us different so that we can recognize each other. So it's good to have a bit of understanding for background purposes, right? But not for divisions. Not to look at someone differently. Oh, you're one of them. Oh, you're not one of us. That's horrible. That's disgusting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he eliminated that. He wiped it out. There should be no element of that. And whenever that is in any community, that community will not move forward. Never. It won't. You won't be able to because you can't. This is a diverse ummah. Islam is a pluralistic society. It's not for one type of people, right? It's everybody. And the beauty of why you're experiencing what you're seeing here is there's been a shift even here as well. Maybe many, many years ago, people did have that idea. I'm going to be very open about it. And during that time, things didn't move on as much. As soon as things shifted, you're seeing everyone's feeling welcome here. Nobody feels. Yes, the management might be of one particular type of people. Yes, we need that so that they can continue running their affairs. But everybody's welcome. Nobody's singled out, oh, you can't pray here. Nobody's looked at in a different way. I remember up north, there was one member who was actually a Gujarati. He is a Gujarati, but he's not the Gujarati type or from the place where the committee members were from. So, and he said, you know what, I'm not going to pay the membership fee because you don't accept me to be a member anyway, so why should I pay it? They said to him, do you know what, when you die, we won't make your ghusl. We won't do your janazah. What happened? He passed away in Hajj and he got buried over there in Makkatul Mukarramah. So, these are things that divide us and break us apart. Yes, alhamdulillah, our elders did some awesome work. They established the masajid, they established the madaris, they established all of these things so that we are benefiting from that now. So again, we have to give credit where it's due. Just again, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ Even in this aspect now, I can get really heated up and riled up and just speak against all of the elders. No, we point out what needs to be pointed out. Where credit is given, it's due. We give them credit and we say Allah reward them. But this area, right, we don't want that being passed on to us. We need to clean our minds. It's very, very divisive. We are people here to unite people, bring people together. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what somebody's skin color is. Allah is not going to judge you on the day of judgment based on that or what your ethnicity is. Sometimes we get into this, like, it has to be one of our people. Otherwise, the world's going to come to an end. Right? We won't win. What do you mean you won't win? Who are we? Who are you? We are the Muslim Ummah. Another Muslim's winning is my winning. Their failure is my failure. And this is how we want to see it. So Shaytan uses this. So the hadith says, your love for something or someone blinds you from the truth. Sometimes we are so in love with our own children. Doesn't this happen with as parents? Our love for children. Like, I know I deal with a lot of parents, and it's very hard. Because parents sometimes, especially when it's a complaint regarding their own child, no one wants to hear it. They're always going to stick up for them. But you're showing them the proof, you're showing them the evidence, you're telling them. The child is saying, Mom, I did do it. No, my son would never do such a thing. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا Just like your hatred shouldn't leave you to injustice, your love for someone shouldn't lead you towards injustice as well. So, what's the balance? What does Islam teach us? And these are some principles I want you to go away with today. Number one, your love for your loved ones shouldn't be greater than your love for Allah. This is the principle. Your love for your loved ones shouldn't be greater than your love of Allah. Principle. Very important principle. Apply this, use this wherever you go. Your love for your loved ones shouldn't be greater than your love for Allah. And your hatred for your hated ones, if that's a word, shouldn't be greater than your hatred for disobedience of Allah. Your hate for your hated ones shouldn't be greater than your hatred for the disobedience of Allah. Remember these two principles. We are people, we've been sent into the world for numerous roles. One of the roles is to establish justice on earth. There's a lot of injustice going on. And I know the ideal situation and the scenario is we need a whole system. That's why we have the Sharia law. We have the Khilafah, we have a whole system. We live in the UK, by the way. So we know we can't do that right here, right now. So that doesn't mean we don't still establish justice. Allah's going to ask us according to our current capacity and capability. Did you establish justice in your home? Did you establish justice in your workplace? Did you establish justice in your masjid, in your community, with your friends? Did you establish justice? Did you try and put an end to the injustice with according to your capacity and capability? We know the ideal scenario, right? But now where we are, it doesn't mean we think, oh, we're not there yet. We work towards it. And wherever we can, we need to be mindful of it. So these principles are from the Quran and the Sunnah. Number one, I'm going to repeat it again. Your love for your loved ones shouldn't be greater than your love for Allah. Number one. Your hate for your hated ones shouldn't be greater than your hatred for the disobedience of Allah. Now, this is now when it comes to the test. Whenever there's a difference between people, and you're called now to judge in the situation, that's when the test is going to be. We need to now learn to put the relation aside. That's what we need to learn. Put the relation aside and decide to stand with Allah. That's where we need to stand. You don't always have to stand with you. Yes, we support our people. And do you know what? If that person genuinely loves you, they'll respect you for what you've done, even if you end up deciding against them. If they genuinely love you for the sake of Allah, they will respect you for what you've done, because if they genuinely love Allah and you're doing it for the sake of Allah, it'll work out in the end. Might be a bitter pill to swallow. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? Al-haqqu murrun. The truth is bitter. We don't like it. But it's the truth. And the truth will prevail. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's look at an example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to order for a punishment to be carried out. This is when there's a system of justice in place, as there was in Madinah Munawwara. So don't try this at home. Somebody had committed theft. So the criminal law of the Sharia is applied. The hand has to be chopped off. There were enough evidences and witnesses. So people started talking about the person that committed the crime. Oh, it's the son of so-and-so, the nephew of so-and-so. You know, like, it's not one of us. It's them lot. Those guys. As if this is only being carried out because it's them people and it's not one of us, not one of our people. And sometimes we thrive on information like this. Oh, look at that guy's son. Look at that guy's daughter. Look at that guy's nephew. Oh, it's his grandson. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard this, he came straight to the masjid. He ascended the pulpit. And he said, "Wa aymullah, I swear in the name of Allah, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, was to commit theft, I would have chopped her hand off as well." Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Do not let your love for your loved ones become greater than your love for Allah. This is what it's about. Don't just think, okay, I've got friends of color, I've got different type of, I get on with everyone, so I'm not racist. Racism comes in different forms. Asabiyya comes in different forms. Sometimes we put our loved ones or our group or our people above the truth. And this is where shaitan gets to us and divides us. The truth is the truth. The justice is justice. So basically he was trying to tell the Sahaba, my love for my daughter doesn't blind me from the truth. My love for my daughter hasn't blinded me and made me a person that does not stand up for justice. My love for my daughter doesn't stop me from fulfilling the order and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I get you guys. You may have been wronged. We've all been wronged. You've all been wronged. And this is where we want to really hit it home. We've all been wronged. And it's allowed. You're allowed to feel sad and hurt. And someone could have been wronged by your own parents. Maybe somebody had an abusive father. Somebody's mother was neglectful. Whatever it was. I get it. And you had a tough time, right? Growing up, you had a tough time. Now, you've got this element of hatred there. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Whenever somebody comes to you and speaks about their dad, don't let that hatred come in the way and say, yeah, you know what? All dads are like that. We do this a lot. It's as if we are that hatred that we've got and that resentment we've got built up. We advise based on that as if we are taking revenge for the hurt that we experienced a long time ago. If you've been through a divorce, for example, may Allah keep everyone's marriages stable and grant us love. But if somebody's been through a divorce, if it's a guy, right, and you've had a woman and she's just turned out to be whatever you want to say next, according to you, and you're really hurt about it, and like next time a topic comes up, you're not even willing to listen. Before they've spoken about it, you've already made your mind up that women are just horrible. Similarly, a sister might have thing about men as well. Oh, all men are just misogynist. Men are just horrible. Right? And are you seeing the culture of this now? Right? Nobody wants to know the truth. We just, because it's all about what I think and what I feel and my truth. I am the truth. Are we the truth? Who's the truth? Allahumma anta al-haq, wa wa'duka haq, wa liqa'uka haq, wa al-jannatu haq, wa al-naru haq, wa sa'atu atiyatu la rayba fiha haq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches us what the truth is. The truth, Allah is the truth. The Messenger is the truth. The Quran is the truth. The Sharia is the truth. You're not the truth. You're not the standard. We've made ourselves the standard. And this is problematic. Where does this come from? Shaitan. Shaitan makes you feel that your truth is the biggest truth. And everyone should go according to that. Yes, look, I get you. You are hurt. You're in pain. You're allowed, if someone wrongs you, you're allowed to stand up to them. Islam gives you that permission. You deal with it. Islam gives you that permission. Islam doesn't say just be passive and let it happen. No. You do whatever you have to do. But does that mean now, for the rest of your life, you are going to be unjust now? Because you've had one grievance with somebody, and that's it. You're taking it out on everyone else for the rest of our lives. No. So, we need to stand up for the truth. And to stand up for Allah, stand up for the truth, and not just because we're standing up for a group or our people. You know, Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was a great Sahabi. When he was young, he carried out a kind gesture towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to answer the call of nature. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he fetched some water and he put it there ready. He kept it ready. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out, he sees, wow, somebody's put water. I don't have to go and get my own water. Somebody's done me a favor. somebody's extended this kindness towards me. He said, who was it that did this? Who placed this water here? And Abdullah ibn Abbas, a young child at the time, it was me, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a very special dua to him. Allahumma allimhu al-kitab wa faqihhu fi d-din. Oh Allah, give him the understanding of the book, meaning Quran, and give him a deep understanding of the knowledge of the religion. And thus Ibn Abbas, even amongst senior Sahaba, he becomes the Mufassir and the greatest commentator of the Quran. Amongst the Sahaba, the greatest commentator of the Quran is known as Abdullah ibn Abbas. Despite him being younger in age than many of the Sahaba, senior Sahaba would come and ask him questions. It is said about Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when somebody would come and ask him a question, the person would be asking a question, he would go like this. Gee, what's the question? Tell me. Yep, I'm listening. Yep. Okay, this is what you need to do. He wouldn't look at the person. Why? He didn't want to be influenced. He didn't want to be prejudiced. He didn't want to be influenced by the skin color, by the background, which group they're from. Is it a male? Is it a female? I want you to try this next time. Somebody tells you a scenario, tell them from before. Don't tell me if it's a brother or a sister. Say group A, group B. And then see, your answer will be different. We do it. The guys will side with guys. Just because, you know, you've had a bad experience. Sisters will stick up with sisters all the time. Just because, no, that's just men are just like that. Men are just like that. But that's not the truth. You're a Muslim. You stand up for justice. We seek out the truth, even if it's against our own people. Even if it's against our own people. Weren't there scenarios in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided in favor of a non-Muslim over a Sahabi? Why? Because it was the truth. And there's that incident where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided that this individual then goes to Abu Bakr. And he says exactly the same thing when he goes to Umar. And he says to him that, I've been to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've been to Abu Bakr. They said this, what do you think? Umar says, hang on, I'm coming. He goes inside, he brings his sword, and according to some narration, he chops his head off. Some people say, what did you do? How can you kill somebody? He says, it's in the Quran. It's in the Quran. The Quran, what does the Quran say? It is not allowed for a mu'min male or a female that after Allah and his Rasul have decided something, أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ, that you have a choice in the matter. You're not the standard. Your experiences are not the standard. This is what the world is telling you. That see the truth from your perspective. You are the truth. This is my truth. I'm living my truth. And we're being told here that no, the truth is with Allah. Don't let your love for yourself, for your people, for your group blind you from the real truth, which is Allah, and make you unjust. Because that's going to cause division. And this is one of the tools of shaitan. So, we've been discussing that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he lowers his gaze. He didn't want to be influenced by any aspect of that individual and thus give the answer in a way where he's not biased. We have to keep checking our biases. Have you heard of Lady Justice? Lady Justice, the statue Lady Justice is outside a lot of courts. What does Lady Justice have? She has three things. Okay, before the blindfold, Lady Justice has scales, a sword, and you'll see a lot of the Lady Justice, what does it have? Blindfold. Right? I know it goes back to the Roman Greek gods and stuff, but for our purpose here, why does Lady Justice have a blindfold? Yeah, what? Justice, when you want to carry out justice, it's not on what you can't be biased. You can't be influenced by who's in front of you. It's the truth. We are after the truth. We are after the truth. So we need to keep checking our biases. We need to keep checking our biases. The people that we love and the people that we hate, they're influencing us all of the time. And it actually makes a difference on which side we stand on. And we have to really look deeply and check our biases in all issues. Like I said earlier, cognitively, we like to place things in boxes, in compartments. And we're just human beings like doing that. And our brain, what it does, it tries to, before even someone tells you any information, it likes to prejudge. When we prejudge what happens, we've already made our mind up based on our experiences. Like whatever happened with you, you've used that. And they've not even told you anything. And then what happens is it hinders us from the truth. So the responsibility you and I have now after knowing this knowledge is to keep a check on our biases. Make sure that our love or hatred is not hindering us from the truth. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi is telling us that one of the biggest doors of shaitan he will use to break us up, to break us apart, is that you don't look for the truth anymore. That's literally what it is. Who wants to know the truth nowadays? No one. Nobody wants to know the truth. Nobody wants to know what's right. They just want to know, is it one of us? One of our guys? One of our people? Even if they're doing the worst thing, it's fine. As long as it's one of our people, then it's fine. But if somebody else, no matter how much good they're doing, we can't see that. We can't digest that. Why? It's not one of our people. So this is what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi is telling us. So we can't use our experiences, our suffering, because then what happens is you're trying to get back up whoever it is, either it's your parents or your ex-wife or your ex-boss. You had some grievances. It's as if you're each time somebody comes to you and you're telling them, you know what, yeah, you know what, they're all like that. That's what they do. Don't listen to them. And you've not even heard the story. You're not even interested. That brother or that sister could be wrong. They might be the zalim. They might be the one in the wrong. They need a different kind of advice from you. But you're just trying to get back at whoever wronged you. And okay, they did wrong you. I understand that you were wrong and you felt pain and it was difficult for you at that time. That doesn't mean that we continue the cycle of injustice. Why? Because what we're getting to now is if you have faced injustice, that doesn't mean we continue the cycle of injustice. Because what ends up happening, some people, they fight racism with racism. Some people fight injustice with injustice. This is what shaitan does. Shaitan uses a genuine moment of injustice that has been done to you. And he exploits that only for you to carry out an injustice as well. So there's a lot of hurt people around nowadays. Everyone's hurt about different things. Haven't you heard, like, people who come out and start helping people, they're like survivors, aren't they? Oh, I went through this really traumatic thing, this really hard thing. Now I'm helping similar people. But sometimes you're meant to put the balance. The scale is there for the balance. Not tip it the other way totally. You were that way, right? Sharia teaches you to bring it in balance. Not tip it the other way altogether. And we learn that in the Quran, Allah tells us about this. In Surah Al-Qasas, we hear the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he grew up in the palace of Fir'aun, like silver spoon child. He was in a palace, he was being looked after. Now that allowed him to see Fir'aun from a very close distance, but at the same time, he also saw the oppression of his own people. He was from the Bani Israel, he wasn't a Coptic. He was from the Bani Israel. So he was exposed to the tyranny and the oppression of Fir'aun and the injustice that was carried out against his own people for years. He couldn't do much about it, but he was witnessing it. And when you witness this for such a long time, it builds in you rage. It builds in you frustration. And the anger just increases and grows and grows. When Musa alayhi salam, Quran is telling us that he's out of the palace now. He's no longer in the palace. He's out of the palace of Fir'aun. And one day, وَدَخَلَ الْمَدِينَةَ عَلَىٰ حِينِ غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. The Quran says he enters into the city. Most people are asleep in the afternoon. He finds two people they were fighting. هَذَا مِنْ شِيعَتِهِ. One person was from his tribe, from his hizb, from his group, from his clan, whatever you want to call it. So one person was one of his people, Bani Israel. وَهَذَا مِنْ عَدُوِهِ. And the other one was from his enemy. Now Musa alayhi salam already had a lot of all of this built up because he'd seen the injustice carried out against his own people for so long. So already what happens when you're in a situation like that, you prejudge and you think, well, you know what, these guys, they're just zalims. They just cause tyranny. They just cause problems. So what did Musa alayhi salam do? He went up to the guy. He didn't ask. He didn't ask. Quran is clear. He didn't ask what's the situation, seeking the truth. He went. What did he do? فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ Musa alayhi salam punched him one and he killed him. And we know this links in with what we're saying because immediately after it happened, Musa alayhi salam, what did he say? إِنَّ هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ He said, this was the act of shaitan. I didn't intend to kill him. Because Musa alayhi salam at that time, he's saying, I'm not saying this, right? Quran is saying this. Musa alayhi salam himself declared this act to be an act of shaitan. He didn't go and see who's in the right, who's in the wrong, right? He was like, I hate these guys. These guys have been, terrorizing our people for so long. Let me go and teach him a lesson. And he goes and gives him a punch, and what happens? فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَىٰ عَلَيْهِ He's dead. The next day, Musa alayhi salam. Now Musa alayhi salam is now fearful because by mistake he's ended up killing somebody. Now he's going in the city, and the Quran says that the same person from Bani Israel that was fighting yesterday was fighting someone else again today. Musa alayhi salam goes to him, إِنَّكَ لَغَوِيٌّ مُبِينٌ You're a troublemaker, you are. You're a big troublemaker. I should have checked before. Right? This was happening. Your love for your people sometimes blinds you from justice. And it divides you. Shaitan comes in between like he did over here. He says to him, do you know what? You're a troublemaker. Now, before Musa alayhi salam even did anything, he didn't even touch him. He didn't even lay a finger on him. That person got worried, thinking, what if Musa alayhi salam comes and gives me a punch like he did yesterday? So he shouts out and he says, are you going to kill me like you killed that guy yesterday? By that time, no one knew that it was Musa alayhi salam. But because he screamed out, as the Quran is saying, everybody heard. And this news reaches Fir'aun. So much so that Musa alayhi salam fled from there after that. And he was gone. Fir'aun actually used this incident against Musa alayhi salam. Can you believe it? Fir'aun carried out injustice. It's exactly what we're seeing now, right? The brutal Israeli regime are carrying out mass murder, genocide. And I don't even know what word to use now because even the word genocide sounds light for what they're doing. And this massacre has been going on for many, many years. And then they have the nerve and the cheek to turn around and point fingers at someone else, right? This is what Fir'aun did. The next time Musa alayhi salam came in front of Fir'aun, Fir'aun said, you know that fitna that you caused right back then? What about the fitna you've been causing for all these years? You've been killing and killing and killing, and how many murders Fir'aun has committed. So, coming back to what we were speaking about, Quran speaks about this, and it gives us an idea that don't let the love of your loved ones come in between you and justice. Your love for Allah has to be greater. You must seek out the truth. Just because it's one of your people, it doesn't mean you just support them fully, 100%. No, you need to know who's right, who's wrong. And that's what we call justice, that's what we call the truth. Another individual who made a mistake initially, major blunder, but then realized, is the famous, well-known Malcolm X. Malcolm X, he witnessed, if we look at Malcolm X and you study his life, it's very fascinating to go into the lives of such individuals. He had a profound impact. How many people accepted Islam at the hands of Malcolm X? Malcolm X, he witnessed prejudice. He witnessed racism. He witnessed outright denial of African Americans at first hand. Maybe most people today probably don't know of the denial of human rights that these people face. And he witnessed it. He experienced it firsthand. And then he himself got into a cycle of violence, drugs and everything like that, and he went into prison. And when he ended up into prison, it gave him some time to reflect. And he realized that, do you know what? I've got potential. This is not me. I can do so much more than this. I've been told that I'm a nobody. I've been told all my life that I don't exist. I've been told all my life that I'm not even a human being. I don't have any rights. Once he was in prison, it gave him time to reflect upon himself. And this is what Shaitan wants as well. Shaitan wants you to think that you don't have any potential. There's no hope for you. There's no hope for you whatsoever. So he realized whilst he was in prison serving the sentence that, you know what? I've got a lot of potential. There's a lot that I can do. And whilst he was in that prison cell, he developed a lot of rage, a lot of anger, towards these people that have been stealing their rights and saying that these African Americans don't have any rights, not even human beings. They're the lowest of creatures. They don't even deserve to exist. So when Malcolm X comes out of prison, at that time, he came out with a lot of hatred. Now what happened? He was living in injustice, and instead of him bringing the balance, he continued the cycle of injustice. What did he do? He now became defined by his hatred, and we don't want that. We cannot be defined by who we hate. Rather, we should be defined by who we love. He became known as what? The person who hates white people. What did he say? White people are devils. This was his message. He comes out of prison, rightly so. He was very, very, very hurt. But he's come out, and his global message is, wherever he's going, his campaign is, white people are devils. White people are going to go to hell. White people should burn. White people should not have any rights. There's actually an incident when a news reporter, a white woman, comes, and she's genuine. She's genuine. She says, I really sympathize with you, Malcolm X. I apologize for everything you've had to go through. Is there anything I can do to support your cause and help you? No. She says, please. She goes, no. Please, no. He kept saying, no. Nothing. This was him. And at that time, because he was filled with rage, what did we say earlier? Do not let your hatred for the hated ones allow you to, for it to be more hated than the disobedience of Allah. Truth is truth. And the truth is, not all white people are devils. Yes, you've been through a system of violence. It's horrible what was done to African Americans or anyone in the world that's going through injustice. May Allah grant justice to everybody. However, that doesn't mean that we push the balance so down to the other side that we're replacing one injustice with another injustice. I'm saying this because we end up doing things like this. We think we're fighting racism by only being racist. We think we're fighting injustice by carrying out another injustice. So over here, Malcolm X, Allah blesses him then to go for Hajj. He goes for Hajj. And this was the miraculous journey. When he goes for Hajj and he sits down, and he's next to him, he goes, I'm sitting, I'm sharing a plate with a person of white skin. On this side, a person of different skin color. This person speaking a different language. Because this opened my mind. And this brought the beautiful balance of Islam. The beautiful balance of Islam. It doesn't matter what skin color you have. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what background or ethnicity you have. At the end of the day, you need to be a person of truth. And from then onwards, he made Tawbah. And then onwards, he carried out much work. And very soon after this, they got him killed. Rahmatullah alayhi. May Allah have mercy upon him. He did some amazing work. Many, many, many people repented from their wrong ways, from thinking Islam is a religion only for a certain group of people, to understanding the justice and the beauty of Islam, how diverse and how beautiful it is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that level of understanding. So, when we go through experiences. I address my sisters, for example. Don't become the thing that you hate. You had a bad experience in one marriage or from other male member of your family. Don't become what you hate. Sometimes we become what we hate. If it's a brother, if it's a sister, you've had a bad experience. Don't turn into what you hated at one time. Like, you've become that person. You've become you're doing exactly the same thing. We need to have a balance. And that's what Quran is about. وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهَمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسِ بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, with every prophet, we sent a book. We sent a book. Why? So that it becomes a balance. It becomes a scale. And this is why, from this Quranic ayah, it's imperative that in all our scenarios, we go back to the sunnah. That's your balance. You might be asking me, so where's the balance? How do we know how to deal with scenarios? Sunnah. Go back to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The seerah. How did he deal with scenarios? And you'll find it. It's beautiful. Islam is the seerah. The seerah is Islam. You cannot separate these two. You cannot separate Islam and the seerah. The seerah is Islam. And Islam is the seerah. These two things are interconnected. And this is why understanding and studying the seerah is imperative for every Muslim. Because you understand practical Islam, not textbook Islam. You see Islam being played out as Allah wants it to be played out. You see a practical version of the text of the hadith. Many a times we know hadith, right? We've taken them from one place, but we don't really know the context. Most of the hadith we know, they're from a larger context. Most of the texts, we like just take a text from here, take one from there, take one from there. What's the context? What's the story behind it? Without understanding the story, your understanding is very partial. It's very limited. You're not actually getting the context, how this should be applied. What did the Prophet ﷺ actually mean when he said this? That's why it's not sufficient for somebody just to pick up a book of hadith and start interpreting. You can't do that. You're going to get lost. You're going to devise your own ideas. You're not going to be on Sirat al-Mustaqim. You're going to be on your own Sirat. You're going to join the people now who are promoting this idea of this is my truth. What difference will there be? You can't interpret hadith how you want to interpret it. We've got masters of hadith who've done that for you. And even they don't claim to know it all. And yet today we have somebody on the street, right? They'll pick up a Quran. They'll read a verse of the Quran. What do you think about this? Let's start thinking about what the meaning of this ayah is. What do you think about it? What do you think about it? I remember we were in South London, as a Nigerian masjid. And I saw this, after Taraweeh, the people would sit around in a circle and they'll all have a Quran. These are lay people, right? So they would read an ayah of the Quran and then read the translation. And then the person sitting there would go around like, so what do you think about this ayah? 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 Do you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding doing this? He said, if anybody gives their own version regarding the Quran, even if it's truth, فَهُوَ رَدٌّ, it's rejected. فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ, they should prepare their abode in the hellfire. It's not a toy. Do we do that with any other field? Would you take a book of medicine, right? And I start asking people's opinions. You go to the experts. You understand. A lay person who doesn't have any clue of the Arabic language, who doesn't know the context of the verse of the Quran, doesn't know what verse came before it, what verse came after it, what conditions it was revealed in. There are many sciences that are required to be able to interpret the Quran. And even those who interpret it, they never say that this is a definitive meaning. Yet today we've got people that are so forceful with the idea. No, this is what it means. This is what I think. And that's it. Who are you? Who are you? Who made you the authority? Who made you the authority? So when it comes to these issues, we have to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a system in place. You have the Quran, you have the Sunnah. We have the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand it from authentic, reliable sources. Now, when we come to creating balance, we said we need the sunnah. We cannot do it without the sunnah. Some people are saying, no, Quran is sufficient. No, the Quran is telling you to go to the sunnah. This ayah, for example, is telling you that with every prophet we sent the book, the prophet was sent as a role model, as a guide. Otherwise, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make major, major mistakes. And this is also a way of shaitan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to teach balance. He was the most just and fair person. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was distributing some wealth. And a Bedouin comes. And the Bedouins are sometimes harsh people. They're from the outskirts, from the desert sometimes. So he didn't have the etiquette and the mannerisms that the rest of the Sahaba had. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, oh Muhammad, be fair. Be fair in your distribution. Like he's trying to say, that's not fair. Be fair. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned back to him and said, who's going to be fair if I'm not fair? Who will be fair if I'm not fair? I am the messenger of Allah. I'm the fairest of them all. I am the most just. If I am not just, who's going to be just? Where are you going to expect justice if you don't expect it from the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So, in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is justice that holds the seven heavens and the seven earths together. What holds it up? Adl, justice. See, if justice is holding the heavens, don't you think justice will hold your house up as well? Don't you think justice will hold our community up as well? Don't you think justice will hold up our organization as well? Justice is what we need in our life. This is what's missing. And we have to be people who strive for justice. People who strive for the truth. people who strive to know what the truth is, to seek the truth, to want to know the truth. Sadly, we're at a time where we don't want to know the truth. As long as it's one of my people, one of my organizations, one of my affiliates, it's okay, whether they're right or wrong. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he had a very interesting statement. He said, Allah will allow a state to prosper if they carry out justice, even if it is based on kufr. Allah will allow, who's saying this? Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. This was his observation. Allah will allow a state to prosper, develop, move on, as long as they carry out justice, even if it's a state based on kufr. And then he says, Allah will never allow a state to prosper which carries out injustice, even if it's a Muslim state. Look at our so-called Muslim countries. Can you get your rights there? Or is there a lot of injustice being carried out? We have to be truthful. Overall, when we are going to speak in front of the world, we'll speak for the Muslims. We won't put down the Muslims. No. Never. We don't. That's not what a Muslim does. But when we're having our own conversation within us, we have to be honest. We have to be honest. We have to speak the truth. And we have to say that where there is a need for reform, we must reform. And the sad state of affairs is that in our Muslim, so-called Muslim countries by name, there isn't justice. Rather, there's loads of injustice. And this is the reason why they're not moving on. And the solution's simple, right? Where does justice come from? Where does justice come from? Where does it come from? Does it come from me? Does it come from you? No. We already have divine revelation, Sharia. Sharia law being implemented, you will have justice. This is the most just way. People can call it whatever they want to call it. But if you look into the history, you will find these are by name, they are Muslim countries, but they're not running on Sharia law. So if they were running on Sharia, as it's supposed to be, you will see justice meted out. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meted out justice on this occasion. And he said that, you know what, you're commenting on this individual. If my daughter Fatima bint Muhammad was to commit theft, I would have her hand cut as well. So this is what we need. And this is what Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says. I end by saying, have we been perpetrating the cycle of justice, or are we carrying on the cycle of injustice? This is a question that you and I need to ask ourselves. Yes, we may have faced injustice in our lives. We may have faced troublesome, difficult moments in our lives with certain individuals, with certain groups. Does that mean now we carry that on and we have a go back at them just because I'm hurt? Or do I seek out the truth? This is something we want to know. We need to ensure that our hatred doesn't move us from justice. Our hatred for a group or an individual, and you're allowed to be upset, it's fine. But don't let that sway you from the truth. Because we want to pray that Allah uses us to unite people and not divide them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we'll be having our final session tomorrow. It's a very important one. Especially for those of you who've been with us from the beginning, we've been hearing many of the tricks and the plots and the ploys of shaitan. And we come to a stage where it can get a little bit overwhelming, thinking, oh no, he's all over us. So this is going to be a very important one tomorrow, where we'll learn, like, okay, where do I fit in? If shaitan has got all of these plots and ploys, where do I fit in? Do I have any assistance? Is there anyone there to help me? So tomorrow, inshallah, will be our concluding session. After Salatul Taraweeh, Jazakumullahu Khairan, wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.